So the end of the parsha has a fascinating story. After Yaakov Avinu dies, in Pasuk Gimel of Perek Nun, it says like this: "V'yimloy Abraham Yoim." They had 40 days of where they did chanata. Chanata means mummifying him. And then it says, "V'yifkois mitrim shivim yoim." And then the Egyptians, they cried for Yaakov Avinu for 70 days. Okay, the Torah is telling us a very madazach. Who cares? Do we care what the Egyptians do? Who cares what the Egyptians do? Right? Shlach to mention. Unbelievable Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says Azoi. In Saita Perak Aleph, Halacha Yud. The Yerushalmi quotes Rav Avo. Let's find the place I just saw it a minute ago. Quotes Rav Avo. Amar Avo. Rav Avo says this. Kol oisin shivim yoim, the 70 days, shebein yigeres liyigeres, between letter and letter, it doesn't say what that means. Whatever 70 days between Igeris and Igeris, they're connected. Shivim Yoim Sha'asu Matsriim Chesed of Yaakov Avinu. That since the Matsriim, in the time Yaakov Avinu, did a Chesed, that's the word it says, a Chesed of 70 days, somewhere along the line, there was a repayment that what? That they got a repayment that they had 70 days Ben Igeris and Igeris. It doesn't say what that means. So when you look around, the carbonator says like this: Shel Homon. 1,000 years later. The 70 days, Igeris Mardechai, from Igeris of Haman to Igeris of Mardechai. Because Haman, it says, in, over here it says, B'yud Gimel B'nisan Hayu. In Perak Dalad, when it talks about Haman sending out the letters against the Yidden, it says the date. It was Yud Gimel Nisan. Then we have 3 days of fasting. That's what Esther called him in. And then Haman was killed on Pesach. That's what happened. Fast on Pesach, kill on Pesach. But that's not when the story ended. The story didn't end when Haman got hung. So Yud Gimel Nisan, they sent out a letter. Then they fasted for 3 days. You have to learn the Rishonim. It means your Gimel, your Dalet Tezvav, or your Dalet Tezvav Tezayin, whatever it is over there. And then they hang Haman. Then the story doesn't end. Then later on, the Megillah Esther tells us that the 23rd of Sivan, 70 days later, Mordechai and Esther approached Achashverosh and said, "Listen, we have a problem here. You sent out the letters that said that they're going to kill all the Jews. What are you going to do now?" So Achashverosh says, "I'm stuck. I can't take back a letter. I'll send a second letter and we'll figure it out." But between letter one and letter two, the Megillah says the dates openly. It says Yud Gimel Nisan and Chav Gimel Sivan. It's open. That's 70 days. Where did the Goyim get a schus for 70 days that they're able to torture the Jews for 70 days until the second letters went out? The schus of the 70 days that they cried over Yaakov Avinu. So the first question is going to be, do they have it in the Shalma here? My Eitzel Shmita Eitzel Hasina. What did the Mitzriim have to do with Haman 1,000 years later? 70 days is 70 days. A big deal. So, who cares? You're making Zeresh Shav for 70 days. There has to be some type of connection. Okay, 70 days and 70 things. Okay, so who cares? It does not do with each other. So we figure we'll look around and figure out some good answers and maybe help ourselves for today, for Musa, for ourselves a little bit on what the 70 and 70 shtim. So, just based on the season, today we began a new regime change. So we figure we'll talk about regime change a little bit. Right? Hopefully soon, Bakar. So the idea is that you have an issue like this. At what point do Yidden allow Goyim to get involved in their lives? But let's go to the story here. The Mitzriim decided that they're going to get involved and they're going to give Hespedim for 70 days. Mechatesa. Some of the Rishonim learned that the reason why it was 70 days, we have an halacha, you bury it right away. What took 70 days? Because the 70 nefashos, each nefesh of Klai Yisrael, of the 70 great people, each one had to give a hesped for 1 day. So it was a Yidden giving hespedim. That's what some of the Rishonim learned. But other Rishonim said, no, they let the Goyim give a hespedim. Why were the Goyim getting involved? Rashi says, because when Yaakov showed up, the ro'ov, or the ayin, the famine ended, they had a karsa toif. So the Goyim had a karsa toif, and they said, listen, we have such a karsa toif, we want to help you out, we're going to give a hespedim. We're also going to cry, we're going to put the flags at half staff, whatever they call the exact phrase there, and we're going to eulogize because we hold of Yaakov Avinu. Okay, did they really hold of Yaakov Avinu? No. The Selfazach. They were happy that the fast ended. They don't really care about Yaakov Avinu. They were mourning the fact that now the fast was going to begin again. The famine was going to begin again. But the Yidden at the time, maybe correct, maybe incorrect, decided, you know what? We're going to allow them to do it. They let the Goyim in. Now we have a dach now that became a naya zach, that you don't let someone carry the oren if he didn't go to the mikvah. It's a new thing. The old days, nobody's makban on that. But you, at least you have yidden. You have yidden given a spadim. So start, once in a while you're stuck. Over here, the yidden, they made a decision, an executive decision, and instead of only having the yidden do a spadim, the Torah tells you openly that what happened, it says, vayivku oisei mitzrayim shim yom. Okay. Now, that means there's a zach that when it comes to the king, that was the excuse that everyone thought. Why would you let it? Oh, because Paroi, the Mitzriim, it represented the kingship. They gave Yosef cover. Let's do it. Okay. Now you go 1,000 years later. 1,000 years later, beginning of Megillas Esther, and Achashverosh makes an announcement, and he wants everyone to come to the party. If you read the Pesukim there, if you read the Pesukim in Megillah, it's Mashma, that, yeah, Pasuk Hey. Achashverosh made a demand that all the people have to come to give him covered. Achashverosh was only out for his own covered. The whole party was only for a covered. And it actually says it. It says in the Megillah Esther. It says, "What was the reason?" Laharos is what in the beginning. Laharos is yikar tferes b'dlosai. Achashverosh's gang was open, selfish reasons. And we know that Mordechai HaTzadik told everyone, "Don't go," even though according to many kadmonim, the suda of Achashverosh was 100% kosher. Kosher food, no goyish music. Achashverosh wanted everyone to come. Last is called Ishkar Ritzonai, and he made it. He Jewified it. Is that a word? A lot of use. He made it into mamasha kosher thing, and he told the yidden, come whatever you want. I'm going to give you. I love the Jews, but it wasn't. His whole thing was for himself. Is they going to cover? He was demanding cover for himself. But in order to get covered, how do you get covered? If you're a falsha guy, if you're a real guy, you don't need the cover. If you're a falsha guy, you need the cover from everybody else. So everyone else includes the people you hate. Imagine Mishagasim. The guy you hate, he has to give you covered also. So he said, I want all the Jews to come. I'm so desperate for the covered that I'm going to tell every Jew, what do you want? You want kosher food? I'll have shkita. You want to separate the meat and the milk? We'll separate the meat and the milk. Whatever you want. No music. Whatever you want, I'm going to do for you. Why? Because I need you to come and give me covered. So Mordechai told everyone, listen, it might be kosher, but it's not kosher. A mechitza, and the guy told me it's a kosher mechitza, but it's not a tzniyistik mechitza. Good work. We call kosher television today. I may have been yovin if you watch certain websites, right? It's kosher television. So there are things that are kosher in halacha, and then there are things that are kosher in halacha, but they're not really kosher that you should be. So what he said was, Mordechai told all the klai Yisrael, listen, it's kosher zach. In legal law, you're not eating treif. Maybe there'll be tzniyas there. If you look at the, right, it says Vashti made her own suda. Men and women separate. Unbelievable. Women are not with men. Kosher food. All you got to do is come and give the king covered. But Mordechai told them, no, don't do it. And what did Klai Yisrael do? They turned on Mordechai. They all went to the party, and they fived on Mordechai. And it's, when you read the story of the Megillah, what happens is, then Mordechai then starts up with Haman. And Haman, it says, he didn't want to be only against me. Acha Advar Me'ela, it says that he was Gidel as Haman in Paragimel. Achdvar Me'ela, Gidel HaMelech HaChashverosh. And he made a rule that everyone has to bow down to Haman. HaMelech Koyer Meshtach L'Haman. But there was one problem. One person wasn't bowing down to Haman. And what happened? One person didn't bow down to Haman. He came love Yom Yom, Bilei Shem Aleim, Gidel HaHaman. They told him, Liris, what's going to be? Vayar Haman, he saw Ki Ein Mordechai Koyer Meshtach HaVeh. Vayimela Haman Chema, became angry. Vayivaz Ve'ein of L'Shleich Mordechai L'Vada. He said, no, I'm going to go after everybody. Because they told him he's a Jew, and he said, I'm going to go LaHashman as Kol Yehudim. So all of Klai Yisrael are sitting around, and you know what they say to themselves? Look at this. We shmeichel the king. We went to his party. We did nothing wrong. We checked the boxes. Kosher food, separate seating. The wine was double wrapped, right? Everything was good. And you know what was good? It was good for us. King was good to us. Then the king went, and he put Haman in charge. What does Haman want? Bow down. You'll read Tosfos and Sanhedrin. There's a real heterim. According to some, it wasn't Avodah Zarah. It was on. There were a real heterim. But they decided they didn't. They're all going to go with it. They went strict halacha. We're allowed to bow down. And Mordechai said, no, it's not about strict halacha. And Mordechai said, I'm not bowing down. And then he turns to Haman and he says, I'm not in front of you. I'm going to fight you out in public. And Haman says, I'm going to get back at all the Jews. The average yid walking around during the story, you know what they were saying? Haman, Mordechai's no good. Mordechai's the worst. He's the worst guy of all time. He told us not to go to the party. Party was good for us. He told us, he's telling us that we're allowed to legally bow down, but don't do it. Why should we? He's getting you. We're getting killed because of you. But really, what was the issue? Mordechai was right. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a system. We told him like this. I'm going to set up that for 70 days, Klai Yisrael is going to be there in trouble. Then Igeris, from Yid Gimel Nisan until Chav Gimel Sivan, 70 days of no good. Why? Because Yaakov. What does Yaakov do with anything? Because when the Yidden came over to Mordechai, he didn't just say, listen, it's kosher food. You're talking to a gadol. What are you going to tell him? So he told him, listen, Mordechai, you're high to a gadol. You're a gadol today in 2026. But you know what? We're going to go with old gadol. We're going to tell you a great vert. The great vert is that when Yaakov died, they gave covet to the king. They allowed the kingship to have covet. So we have a precedent in America. We call precedent. Precedent, that's the word, right? We have precedent. The precedent is that you're allowed to give kavod to the king, even though we would do it. Normally, a regular levaya, you're not going to let a goy carry the aron. You're not going to let a goy give a hesped. But the malchus was demanding such a thing, and you see they gave it to the malchus. It was the right thing to do. The Torah is even quoting it. If the Torah wrote it, it must have been the right zach. So they used the story of Yaakov Avinu and his death, and vayifku oisoy mitzrayim. What's the phrase? Vayifku oisoy mitzrayim shivim yoyim. They used that as the reason to say, Mordechai, you're wrong. But they forgot one detail. When you have negius, you always lose one detail. Yourself. The negius is against yourself. The negius was that by Yaakov Avinu, whatever cheshbon they made, the cheshbon was made by the Gedolim. The Gedolim said, the Shvatim were alive, Yosef was Mishnah Lamelech, and they said, we're going to allow it. Mordechai was the Gadol now saying, don't do it. They forgot that detail. So if Mordechai would have said, go, yeah, well, no, it's all good. Perfect. But Mordechai was telling them, listen, it's kosher, but not kosher. Don't do it. So what happens then is the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'm going to show you that you're wrong. The whole reason that you did it was 70 days, the 70 days of Yaakov, I'm going to show you you're wrong by having a 70-day punishment against you. People in the time of the story of Esther had the 70-day punishment from Yom Yigeres to Yigeres. They were Machan HaChesh. What's going on here? What do we do here? They had to start thinking, what do we do? What's 70? Ah, they looked at the Chumash. They said, oh, we were wrong about that time. We're getting punished for that. Why are we getting punished for that? They did the right thing. That's in the Torah. The difference was Mordechai. He didn't pay attention to the Gedolim. When you didn't pay attention to the right person, you get punished. So what's the connection of the story of Yaakov to the story of Haman? Haman is from Persia. Here's the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians to the Persians, the Kadmoni Masakasha. What is the Mitzrayim doing something have to do with Persians? What are the Yidden doing something wrong over there have to do over here? Because the Sibis Hadava, the Nekudis Hadava was the Zalbazach. The Nekudis Hadava was, when do you allow Goyim to join? The answer is, you don't allow Goyim to join, except if a Gadol tells you. Years ago, I had a story I taught in a modern Orthodox high school, and I had an unbelievable story. I just thought of it, Mama, 5 seconds ago. It must be the reason why. So there was a girl, and she was a brilliant girl. Mamish brilliant. And she was taking a class. One of the English teachers in the class was a... And he used to give all types of crazy zachim. He used to always say, I just want to have a conversation. Do you believe in God? I used to always tell this, the administration, if I would talk about things that aren't in Judaism, politics and these things, you would scream at me. Why does the English teacher get to talk about Judaism and philosophy? But as always, so there's one girl, she wanted to win valedictorian. The end, she came in number 3, Taka. But she was in the game to win valedictorian. And she had an assignment from this person was, what do we think about abortion? Is abortion legal or illegal? So she came to me and she said, listen, Rabbi, I know what he wants me to write. You tell me, you guide me on what to write, I'll do whatever you say. She was a firm girl. So I told her, yeah, answer the question. You tell him, the topic of the question was, what is your opinion on abortion? Your answer is going to be, I have no opinion. Whatever the Torah tells me. When the Torah says it's mutta, the Torah tells us it's not mutta, it's not mutta. She gave him the report. We discussed it that night. She called me, Amala said that. She called me that night. We went through a few details of like, when it's mutta, you know, the halachas. You're going to want, you know, save a life. So I was writing down the basic halachas for ChatGPT. Wrote down the basic halachas. Comes back in like a few days later, and she gets a D. It's a D. So she goes over to the teacher. She tells the guy, this girl is brilliant. She writes better than me. Better than ChatGPT, okay? It was clear. She goes over to the guy and she says, what's up is I got a D? Is it because it's a religious thing and it's a religious school also? I'm a religious girl. Now, he can't admit that. He can't say that. I'll lose his job. It has nothing to do with that. I gave you a D because I hold you didn't write the paper. Accusing a girl not writing a paper, that's a very aggressive thing. So she says, what makes you think you're going to write it? She says, I know Rabbi Hubbard did this for you. That's what she said. He did it for you. So, and she didn't win the valedictorian. She came in third place. I don't know if it's because of his grade, but it could be. Now I'm thinking about it. What's the point? The point is a very, very, very shver zach in life. In life is when people tell you something, it has to be, we don't have an opinion. In America today, we're built in a society that we believe in free speech. I don't believe in free speech. I'm anti-free speech. I believe in expensive speech. Every word that comes out of your mouth has to be measured 1,000 times. Is it allowed? Is it not allowed? Every time you sign a piece of paper, if not, am I supposed to sign something or not sign something? You have to measure things through. You have to think about it. And what do we have? We're in a world of our das is supposed to be the das of Torah. Not das Torah. That's what I'm saying. The das of Torah, whatever the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. At that second is what we're supposed to do. Everything with ourselves is a problem. So when you have a concept of podcasts and everyone gets on and says, I want to tell you what I think. I don't care what you think. I want to tell you what things. But it's a mach in America because in America you have to give your opinion on everything. Everyone has an opinion on almost every topic in the world. It's unbelievable. You don't even realize that. If you'd ask your great-grandfather, they would have no opinions on anything. Big news, not only you. Posh at you. But most of your great-grandparents are much smarter than all of us, right? Most of them were leadership people. Why? Because they had this idea. They didn't have to have an opinion on everything. They understood what it was all about. The Torah here was telling you that the Mitzrayim came along 70 days. Goyim by Alavaya. Whatever, I don't know what the cheshbon was. You have to go through the Rishonim and then figure out why they allowed it. But don't use that cheshbon if it's going to be against the Gadol today. So when Mordechai told them, don't go over there, don't do it, it's kosher but not kosher, they mocked him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, oh, you're going to mock the Gadol? It's exact opposite. On the surface of it, the Goyim were claiming they have respect for Yaakov Avinu. We knew they were lying. They were doing it because the famine ended. But on the surface, they were saying, we love Yaakov Avinu, we're Mashataita. They weren't saying that, but they were like almost saying, right? We want to go to Yaakov Avinu's Levaya. Can we hold from Yaakov Avinu? And the Yidden was saying, oh, whatever, okay. But the Yidden, when it came to that same exact situation, when they had a leader that they could talk to, they told the leader, yeah, you have your opinion, I have my opinion. And you know what your opinion does in the beginning? Your opinion said, don't go, and it was a mistake, because we had Yaakov. And then you didn't bow down to Esav, when legally you were allowed to bow down to Esav. You didn't bow down to Esav. Why not? Because you had your cheshbonus, and you know what? You got us all in trouble. If not for you, we wouldn't be in trouble. You made a mistake, and he's coming after all of us. It's not right. Because you have your cheshbon, we have our cheshbon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have a delay of 70 days. 70 days, what's that? They went to the party, by the way. The party was only 7 days. Right? The party says, in the beginning it says, even if you want to learn, it's possible to learn that they were by the first party as well. It's 180 days. It's 187 days. What's number 70? 70 is not the number. Because the number 70 wasn't about going to the party. It was about the respect you have to have for the leaders. That in the time of Yaakov Avinu, whatever cheshbon they had, they made a cheshbon that, yes, you could let the goyim in. When it came to Mordechai, he had, don't let them in. And we have to realize that one of the important things in life is that we have to be, you have to pick the right gadol. We have to be botel daiti etzel daitam. We don't have an opinion. We go by the Torah's opinion. Yes, we have to look up and try to figure it out, but we go with the Torah's opinion. So the whole idea was, when it came toward this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to make you suffer for 70 days for the lack of the respect that you have for Mordechai, that you claimed that they had for Yaakov. So they had the respect for Yaakov for 70 days, and you didn't have the respect, you're going to suffer for 70 days. But the Chiddush is, that even though that sounds like a bad thing, there's an amazing concept in Judaism. We all know HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a yin yang. Zelu mezel salikim. Zelu mezel salikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an option what he could do. Let's say, unbelievable idea. Let's say a person has to suffer X amount in this world. X amount in this world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make the guy suffer. But we know as Yidden, that's a good thing. Put quotes around good, because why? It'll help him in the next world. The more suffering here, the less in the next world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes will do two things in one thing. I'll give you the example. A guy's going for a plane. Most famous story of all time. The guy's going for a plane, and he misses the plane. And he's very frustrated. Very angry, very that. And then Nebuch, Chas V'Shalom, the plane crashes. And then he's B'Simcha Neira. Of course he's B'Simcha Neira. He missed the plane that crashed. But for the first 35 minutes that he was sitting and suffering, it was the greatest bracha in the world. He didn't know it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take those 30 minutes of suffering and count it as suffering in this world that you get the reward in the next world. That's how good it is. So when he makes you suffer and you're gaining, you're double gaining. You didn't get on the plane, and those 30 minutes you didn't get on the plane, you thought it was bad, you're also gaining as well. So the Gemara says an amazing thing. The Gemara says that, and Yud Beis and Megillah, that these 70 days were all a fake. It was Lo Yasa El Lefnim. Since the Yidden had a real heter, as we said before, they were allowed to bow down. They were allowed to bow down to Haman. And they had a cheshbon that really, we don't believe in Haman. We're doing because Halacha says in this certain circumstance you're allowed to do it besides Mordechai. Halachically speaking, they did nothing wrong. So the Gemara says, Rashi explains the Gemara, different ways to learn it. Rashi says that since they were only misafu l'chut, when they bowed down to Haman, grois avera, it wasn't really a real avera, it's a fake avera because they weren't really bowing down. They were inside mitaychir, mitaych, whatever it is, they had that theorem. So in reverse, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something to the Yidden, it was the same way. Michutz, it looked like a bad situation. The letters went out, 70 days, a bad situation. But Befnim HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew it was never going to happen. It was a fake skier. Almost a fake fear is even better. F-E-A-R. The same way, when the guy misses the plane, he has a fake upsetness. Because in reality, he has no upsetness. Reality is the best thing in the world. So even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see from the story, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes does something negative, something you don't want, we have to realize that the negative that turns out to a positive has a double win. Not only did it turn out positive, but while it was a negative, we gained. All those fears and tears and angst, anxiety that we had, turned out for our better. So the idea is to learn from these 70 letters, 70 days between letter one and letter two, is to learn two things. First of all, to recognize is that when it comes to the Zachen, you have to follow the real G'dayim. Pay attention, take the Negiyas out of it. And second of all, why the age of Yaakov? Because that was the same concept. The people of Yaakov Avinu, the Mitzriim, they weren't really respecting him. It was Misafu L'chutz. They were pretending they really respected him. They didn't respect him. When Achashverosh invited them to the party, it wasn't because I love you, I'm inviting you to the party. It was my own covet, or even worse, to make them do Averis. It depends how you look at the sugya over there. Achashverosh seemed to love us, it was a joke. The Mitzriim seemed to love us, it was a joke. The Mile is in reverse. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to put us in Tsar, it's a joke. It's not a real thing. So we have to be careful on how we have the new regime to know that many times Haman and Esav of Son Yaakov, it's a machlokes if that applies to Chinese and Arabs. We'll leave that for the other people to discuss. But Esav of Son Yaakov, don't think they're really after our good all the time. And the only way to survive it is the other lesson is to follow the real G'dayim that we figure out who they are. We follow them, even if they're telling us something that seems against Adas, Batlu Datenu. And when that happens, we'll have a real Melech to lead us, a Mashiach as well.